Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Tuesday, March 19th. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission got its start after the big stock market crash of 1929. You know, the one that caused the Great Depression? Well, the agency's chair, Gary Gensler, is looking to head off a future financial crisis, one that he thinks could be triggered by Wall Street's headlong rush into artificial intelligence. As the country's chief securities regulator, Gensler is already writing rules for AI systems that generate investment advice. But there are other problems that he says can only be tackled if finance industry overseers work together in unprecedented ways. My Politico colleague Declan Hardy covers the Securities and Exchange Commission and recently sat down with Gensler to talk about AI. But before we get to that interview, I wanted to chat with Declan himself.
Hey, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
Declan, why does the SEC care about AI?
Well, the SEC cares about AI in large part because a lot of the companies and markets that it oversees are becoming more and more entangled with it. Brokers are using it, investment advisors are using it, high-speed trading firms have been using it for years. And so it's a technology that's increasingly hard for them to ignore. And as part of that, I mean, that includes, you know, their own operations. So they're working with AI and how they review disclosures and even in some enforcement matters. And so it's a double-edged sword in some ways right now.
And can you characterize this moment that we're in when it comes to actual regulation of AI? I mean, how far along are these regulators in grappling with it?
They're clearly early days, I think. In our interview with SEC Chair Gary Gensler, one of the things that came up that was really interesting was to his thoughts on how Washington regulators might need to think about AI in a different manner than they have historically, which is very siloed. But AI is sort of an issue that's going to cut across those silos. And so it's going to force regulators to think about this issue in a different manner than we have historically.
And so that regulator right now is Gary Gensler. What's his reputation on AI? Why is he so interested in this?
Yeah, I mean, AI is a huge interest to him. He talks about it a lot. And when he does, he talks about it in terms that aren't typical for an SEC chair. Last month, he had a speech at Yale where he spoke about AI, and there was dozens, I believe, mentions of movies. And so he kind of puts it in this context that's a little bit easier for everyday folks to understand. So it's clearly an issue that he cares a lot about, that he thinks has the potential to, on the good end of the spectrum, upend how we work, things like healthcare, really major cogs in our economy. On the other hand, he does have some pretty serious concerns about how AI could upend the financial system and how it raises a lot of stability concerns.
On the show today, Declan's interview with SEC chair and movie buff Gary Gensler.
I'm ready.
Thanks so much, Chair Gensler, for being here. We really appreciate it. I know you've talked a lot about AI for the last year, and you often talk about it through the lens of movies. You've recently mentioned Her and The Imitation Game, The Matrix. What movie or moment most triggered your interest in AI?
I think a lot about the movie Her because it was so well done. And of course, Scarlett Johansson, it just embodied in a voice there. But if you were to ask me, like, what movie earlier in my life, it would definitely be Arnold, you know, the Terminator. I was still working on Wall Street at the time. Now, we're talking 40 years ago. I would say that probably first got me interested in thinking about what really goes here, what gives here. And I'm reading about Alan Turing and the Turing test and things like that. You know, when is it possible that we humans won't actually recognize the difference between machine and human? There was something else. I had the great honor to be asked to join the faculty of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, better known as MIT. And when that was about 6-7 years ago. And when I did so, I thought, what better place to kind of study and research and teach about the intersection of finance and technology. And that's what I was asked to do. And I got involved in some of the emerging technologies and how they were transforming finance at the time. You might think of digital currency and crypto, some of your listeners, but also around artificial intelligence and that intersection.
AI can still feel pretty amorphous to everyday folks. Is there any example you can give as to how AI is sort of changing
it comes down to this. Artificial intelligence in its simplest form is a form of predictive data analytics. And by the way, that's what we humans do. We take data that we bring in through our various senses, our ability to see, our ability to hear and smell and feel, and we analyze it and we make certain predictions about our life. Well, that's what the computers are doing. And so to bring it into the real world of it's already being used in so many places across our economy. But now in finance, think of it this way, robo-advising. You've heard the term. Over 50 million Americans have separately managed accounts now with some form of investment advisor. And those investment advisors, while not all of them do, many of them are using some form of analytics to give you the investor advice.
Where are we heading with all of this? I mean, in a decade, when we're banking or thinking about putting our money in the markets, like, what is that going to look like because of AI?
I think it's the most transformative technology of our time. Every bit as transformative as the internet was in the 1990s, and I'd say is consequential of the mass industrialization in the automobile in the 1920s. In finance, I think if you go out 10 or 20 years, did you say, I think it will significantly change how loans are made, how underwriting is done for both insurance and loans, both for consumer loans and commercial loans. I'll just give you one thing about an earlier time of data analytics. Many listeners will know something called FICO scores. Well, it's actually two data analysts at a Stanford about 60 years ago named Fair and Isaac. It's the Fair Isaac company. Came up with a way to analyze consumer behavior and create a scoring system about us, we Americans, about how good are we at repaying loans, our credit. Well, artificial intelligence has already started to compete with FICO. 10 or 20 years from now, it will completely transform how consumer credit scores are done. I think it will change the face of commercial banking. I think we'll see greater competition from non-banks using artificial intelligence to provide commercial loans to small and medium-sized enterprises. And it will put stress in that competition on many smaller and regional banks in that way. And I do think it will change some of what happens in the brokerage field and the investment advisor field, so-called robo-advising and brokerage apps. And are we getting advice from machines rather than humans? I would say most likely yes.
That feels like it could be thorny.
That's one word for it.
Well, you call AI the most transformational technology of our time, but you've also spoken a lot about like the possibility of an AI-induced financial crisis. And the concern seems to be that banks and traders and investing firms are all going to start to be dependent on just a few AI models over time, and then something bad is going to happen, a malfunction or a wrong decision or some kind of macroeconomic or geopolitical thing, and everything's going to sort of crumble all at once because of, I think, what you've called the herding effect. Is that right? Like, can you walk us through that?
When I was at MIT, I wrote a paper about this with a colleague, Lily Bailey. Finance often relies on data. That's not new. And crunching that data, that's not new. Even in Renaissance times, there were bankers that relied on data. But what's new, I think, is the dramatic ability to bring in millions and even billions of pieces of data and pull that data in, analyze it, and make predictions. But just by the sheer numbers, I think that also leads to some centrality that's going to occur. And think for a moment about a field of cloud computing, just for a moment. There's three large cloud computing companies. It's not to say that there aren't some others, but pretty much all of finance right now, whether it's a big bank or a community bank, whether it's a big broker-dealer or small broker-dealer, whether it's a hedge fund or others, are relying in some way on those three big cloud providers. That's data storage. But now what if they're relying on them for some what's called base artificial intelligence model? That's where you get dependency, and financial stability is often challenged when there's such network dependencies. You mentioned, Declan, the word herding. We might just find that based on one model, a lot of hedge funds are somehow relying on it, or a lot of brokers are relying on it. They don't even know that others are relying on it. And they'll find that they're in a trade that looks pretty good because they're all piling into the trade. In finance, it's called a crowded trade. And they're all piling in until at some moment they're not. And it could reverse and it could be dramatic. We've seen this in the pre-AI era, that sometimes there's crowded trades. One might even say the whole mortgage crisis of 08 was in part a crowded trade, that there was a lot of poor risk management that led to, in essence, an overpriced market. Those are the risks that we might have. And like, I like movies and I love that movie Thelma and Louise, but I really don't want everybody to drive off the cliff.
Are we close to the edge?
It's a great question. I think that we're already at a period that there are certain dependencies in the financial sector on, as I said, two or three core cloud companies. And we see that each of these cloud providers, the three big ones, are also affiliated with the leading base generative AI models. So we already have actually the concentration. We may not yet have the reliance cultures or the herding that I mentioned, but in some places in finance, you don't know there's a problem until it actually happens. And so I would be quite surprised if in the next 10 or 20 years, a financial crisis happens and there wasn't somewhere in the mix some over-reliance on a single data set or a single base model somewhere.
We'll be right back.
Are you thinking about how the SEC would respond to such a crisis already, or?
Well, I think that this is the challenge for us in the official sector. We have set up a lot of our systems of oversight and rules around regulating individual entities or activities, whether it's bank regulators, insurance regulators, securities regulators, commodities regulators. And this almost is about thinking about across all the entities, are they potentially all using the same base model or base data and maybe unknowingly doing it? And it almost takes a new way of thinking about horizontal reviews and how one maintains some a fancy word, heterogeneity rather than homogenization. You know, you're trying to avoid a monoculture in science and biology. The most fragile systems are those that have mono cultures. And you need sort of, as they say, biodiversity. And here you almost need model diversity and data source diversity. That's why it's a challenging issue.
Well, you've been in Washington for a while now, first at the Treasury Department and then the CFTC and now the SEC. Have you experienced anything similar to this in the way that regulators need to be thinking about it?
I've experienced crises. I've sat in the conference rooms in the late 1990s at Long-Term Capital Management, then world's largest hedge fund, on the precipice of failure. I've participated with colleagues in the Obama administration and the cleanup after the 08 crisis. And as sure as we are on this podcast, we will have financial crises that hit economies, whether it's the U.S. or other economies. We've not repealed the laws of economics or finance. In my 40 plus years in finance, I guess I've lived through 5 or 7 different cycles of these things. I think this set of challenges are familiar, but they're something new. It's about how to promote, as I say, a diverse use of models and data. And that's not an easy challenge to solve.
Well, one thing that the SEC is taking on in the AI space sort of on its own is this idea of predictive data analytics being used by brokers and investment advisors. The agency is obviously considering new rules around how those firms would use AI and other sort of similar technologies when interacting with clients as they sort of navigate the markets. Wall Street firms have had some pretty harsh criticisms of the rule, including that they sweep in a lot of other technologies, automated emails, Excel, obviously. How would you respond to that concern?
It's a very clear, simple concept in our securities laws that broker-dealers and investment advisors are supposed to put their clients, the investors, interest ahead of theirs. Now, herein lies a challenge. You should predict their behavior, putting their interest ahead of yours. But what happens if that robo-advisor is putting in there their own profits or revenues? Let me change the analogy to hospitals. How would you feel, listener, if your doctor or your hospital said, we've got the scan back, we've got the report back from the artificial intelligence robo-radiologist as to your next steps, and the robo-radiologist also is considering the profits of the hospital or doctor? You'd pause. You'd say, wait, am I getting the same advice? And as long as you got the same advice, that would be maybe all right. But if the advice was skewed and it was skewed and different, I think you'd say, wait, that doesn't feel right. And that's the same thing here. There could be inherent conflicts if the investment robo-advisor was skewing the advice they give you because they're optimizing for the profits or revenues or other interest of the firm. That's all we're trying to address with that.
Do you see a difference between like a robot advisor and a human advisor in terms of how they're treated under existing regulation? Like if I'm getting stock tips from ChatGPT, how is that treated compared to...
Well, I hope if you're getting stock tips from ChatGPT that they are considering the law and that they might need to consider registering as an investment advisor or a broker-dealer. So Declan, you tell me, but I hope that whomever is operating that other side of that AI advice is considering properly registering, particularly if they're in the business of giving you advice. But
I am not, but I might try it after this.
I would also say to the listeners of this podcast, be careful. AI does do what is called hallucinate. It's not necessarily that accurate. And any investment advisor or broker-dealer, when deploying AI, also has an obligation to stay within the law. And I think should have an affirmative obligation to make sure there's guardrails, that it not just go off and do things like manipulate or defraud the public. Knowing it hallucinates, also having guardrails to ensure it doesn't do that. Look, any AI model properly deployed by an investment advisor, broker-dealer could actually benefit the public. It can benefit the public by greater accuracy and better predictions as to what works for the public. But at the same time, you got to make sure that that model properly deployed has appropriate guardrails. And anyone who's deploying it in the business of investment advice or giving you stock tips should consider the law, and they maybe need to register.
All of this being said, you seem to be carving out kind of a unique spot in Washington as kind of an AI financial watchdog, talking about how this relatively new technology.
We're a securities regulator. I'm sorry to interrupt. We're a securities regulator, but we always have to look out for the investing public and the issuing public to update our rules for the modern technologies of the time. We did it in the 1990s when the internet came along. And by the way, we had to do it in earlier generations with the advancement of radio and television as well. But this is somewhat different. Those were communication devices. This is an analytic device. And as you put analytic devices into advisory, brokerage, and trading, you still have to make sure that they don't defraud the public, they don't manipulate the stock market, they don't front run, that they, of course, still put your interest, the investing public's interest, ahead of theirs. I would say one other thing, if I might. I've spoken about this in the past. Companies raising money from the public, investment advisors and broker-dealers, in deploying artificial intelligence should be thinking about telling the public what they think is material for the investing public to know about deploying the technology and whatever risks they may have in deploying it. But they should also not mislead the public. In essence, say what you do and do what you say. Don't try to ride the public's interest in this. Don't AI wash and try to get people hyped up to in an effort to enhance your stock price or to try to get investors to come to you. If you say you use AI, then of course use it the way that you say you're using it and don't mislead the public.
So what should we expect next from the SEC on AI?
Aren't you just going to ask ChatGPT for that question, Declan?
I can, and then we can compare them afterwards if you want, and I can email you the response.
I look forward to seeing what you can include it at the end of the podcast. Look, we're going to continue doing that which we do, protecting investors, trying to facilitate people raising money in the capital markets, the issuers, and helping drive efficiency and competition in the middle of the markets. As it relates to artificial intelligence, we've still sorting through a robust comment file from the public on predictive data analytics and the conflicts that might lie in the middle of some predictive data analytics for advisors and brokers. We're going to continue to be a cop on the beat to make sure that issuers and investment advisors and the like, you know, have truthful disclosures and not mislead the public about what they're doing. We're going to continue to work with fellow regulators to think through some of these potential risks about systemic risks that we talked about earlier. And of course, as an agency itself, we already use machine learning and deep learning and data. This is called artificial intelligence. We already use it to oversee the markets and do surveillance. And occasionally we use it in the middle of enforcement action as well. So it's a tool for us as well to better oversee the markets.
On that note, we have been talking a lot about how the industry uses AI, how the markets are using AI. Can you tell us a little bit about how the SEC is using AI?
We use it to analyze data, and that helps us oversee markets. Over half of our agency's 5,000 staff are in examination and enforcement. And it is a tool that can facilitate their work. It helps seize patterns and pattern recognition. Sometimes you can see and discern activity that's worth follow-up. Humans then look at the activity and decide whether or not to open an investigation or not. But it helps in pattern recognition. I think over time, it will also help in other parts of the agency, what we call disclosure review. We have fully probably 10% of our staff or more that does disclosure review, either of those public companies or of mutual fund disclosures and the like. And I think it will help there. It already is being used by our economist and our excellent staff and our trading and markets oversight and so forth.
Are there any examples in terms of what AI has maybe helped you guys find, or maybe a slightly different question? Has AI helped you discover things that would have been more difficult otherwise with just humans reviewing, you know, these thousands of papers?
Well, I don't Declan want to reveal the secret sauce here.
Are you sure? We have
in the past year had at least one enforcement case that I recall that we highlighted it in the press release about using artificial intelligence to identify certain patterns in stock trading that then led investigators, humans, to then follow up, ask further questions, and so forth.
Well, Chair Gensler, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to chat.
Thank you. Chat. What did we do? We chatted.
We did.
So the models may not be trained on the recent discussions and may not be up to date, but I'm still intrigued by what you find out.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.